Lions fans. It's time for the podcast you've been waiting for. The show where Kool-Aid runs blue, faces turn red, and rose-colored glasses never go out of style. This is the Detroit Lions Podcast. Your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection. And now, two guys who have never dropped a Matthew Stafford pass, Chris and Case.
Hey, howdy ho, Lions fans. Welcome to the Detroit Lions Podcast. This is episode 99. This is the official Detroit Lions Podcast for Reddit. I am your host, Chris, and with me is my good friend and co-host, Case. Case, how you doing, my man?
Oh, Chris, I am war weary. I am just back from the front lines of the meme war. And boy, we lost some good men out there fighting. I've had some experiences. I think I'm gonna have to take some time off, but then I'm gonna write a book, I think.
And oh, that's a good idea.
Called the Littlest Titan.
All right. In today's show, we're going to talk about some of the pre-draft hype that's going on. We're less than a month away from all the excitement of round one. What do we know about Quinn? What do we know about his targets? And Case is going to bring a little bit of inside info for us. Also, we're going to talk about some of the NFL rule changes that just made their way through committee and through the owners. And of course, our man, the Riz. He can't make it. He is busy polishing his knob. Got a great show lined up today anyway. You ready to go, my man?
Oh, no. Better title. Return of the Houston Titans.
Let's kick this off and break it down.
All right, really quick shot at the announcements here. First, just so you guys know, we're going to go to alternating weeks. We're definitely not going to be on next week. I've got some stuff going on. We'll talk about that in the regular part of the show. Also, make sure to check us out and help us out on Patreon. Special thanks to Dylan from
Guam,
Michael, Matthew, Eric, Lucas, Joel, Bert, Nick, a Noodle, Jeffrey, Brendan, Justin, John, Rand, Ross, Matt, Morgan, Randy, Peter, Matt G, Alex, and of course, our very first donor, Mathis. I also want to call out our newest patrons, Kaylin, Scott, Joel, and just today, Greg. Thank you all very, very much for joining and helping out the show. You guys are the very, very best. We really appreciate you guys supporting us and helping us make this stay a reality. If you'd like to be a Patreon supporter, just hop on to patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast or go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com and click on the Patreon link. Anything you can part with to help support the show. It's a monthly donation, $1 million, $10 million, whatever you got. It's all good. There's some rewards for some of that stuff, but all you guys, anyone who can help out, we appreciate it. We've got a lot of stuff going on. We continue to grow and continue to work on some new and exciting things in the background. Again, patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. Or just go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com, click on the Patreon link. If you want to just do a one-time donation, that's available there too. Don't forget to give us a like on Facebook, Facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast, Facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast, and of course, on Twitter, check us out at DETLionsPodcast, at DETLionsPodcast. It's the best place to see Case.
Sans the Panza.
And also, you can check him out at SoSumi. Don't forget to check him out. He's got some fun stuff going on, especially during draft season. Don't forget to rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever you find us. Your reviews are really, really important. Those reviews are great. A couple of folks have dropped some in recently, and we appreciate it. Those reviews really help the show out, help get the word out, and help people know just what they're getting into when they tune in. So if you don't mind, any one of those places where you find us, please take a moment and give us a nice rating and let people know what they're in for. Also, don't forget to leave us a voice message via Skype at Detroit Lions Podcast. It's all one word, Detroit Lions Podcast. Or give us a call on the Lions line. That's 929-33-LIONS, 929-335-4667. You guys better have those numbers memorized, because when we have the draft party on April 27th, it's going to be a live companion show for the draft. You're going to need those numbers to call us. All right. In the meantime, use those numbers, give us a call, leave a message, and get a chance to hear yourself on the show.
Tighten your chin straps, kids. It's time to review This Week in Reddit.
All right, it's time to talk about all the fun and exciting things going down this week in Reddit. And it's actually this last 2 weeks in Reddit. Had a little bit of a change in scheduling last week. We'll talk about that a little bit later here. But in the meantime, we're first going to talk about something that was, well, it was quite an event in the subreddit. It was the meme war of 2017. And it was a vicious, vicious battle. We lost a number of our compatriots in the trenches. And I think the biggest casualty might have been Marcus Mariota. But in the end, the superstars, led by Chef Curry Sauce and the Detroit Lions subreddit, they came out on top, and they did a great job. And Marilynk posted an imager album of all the memes from Meme War 2017. So that was a cool thing. That was a lot of fun, but it was also a little bit controversial, wasn't it, Case?
Yeah, well, and this isn't the first time this has come up. Every time that this happens, like, memes take over the sub for a day or two. Obviously, we had the issue with the Stafford meme during the season, where that kind of blew up, and some people really don't like him. And as I've said, you know, multiple times on this show and in the subreddit, you know, they're not my thing either. I want to implore the people who don't like them to recognize how minorly this is affecting you.
Oh, I don't know, Case. It seems like there's some serious injury. I mean, there may be cause for lawsuits out of this, because there's some serious injury claims available.
I understand. I really do. Like, I understand where people who don't care for them are coming from, because, again, you know, I've said it's not my thing either. But the team subreddits act as a building ground for camaraderie more than anything else, in my opinion. And this, I said this in a comment, so a lot of people are hearing me say out loud what I wrote down already. But more than anything else, more than news, because we're not going to get the most up to the minute news. Twitter, ESPN, RNFL, those are, you know, for significant news, those places are going to get news faster than we typically will. Although, you know, we do have more people now who are faster on the draw with that kind of stuff than we used to. But ultimately, like, it's a community of one fan base, and that's how. That, in order of importance, that's the number one thing in importance, in my opinion. And I think it also in the rest of the mods. I can't, you know, I don't want to be out here speaking for all of them necessarily, but I think they're mostly in agreement with me on this. And it's like, the most important thing is the sense of community. And these kind of things are people trying to have fun with the other people in their community. And there were plenty of different, you know, negative ways to look at it, but I don't see it that way. I don't see it as, you know, just like people karma whoring for the sake of karma whoring, you know, that kind of thing. People are having fun, and they're trying to have fun with each other. And that's, I'm never going to recommend that we take a hard line on that kind of stuff. So that's just where I stand. Again, I do understand how they can be annoying, because sometimes I find them that way. But it's super easy to walk away for a day, especially in the off season like this, when there's absolutely nothing going on. We're a month away from the draft still, so, like, while things are trickling in for that, we're past the vast majority of free agency. There's not likely to be any news, major news,
even if on that front. You're going to have a long time to process it before it means anything.
Right. There is no news to speak of to, you know, get bent out of shape about, in my opinion. And so I don't want to chastise or alienate people who feel strongly that those are that they hate seeing those things. Like, just, you have to understand that when we see it as the moderators, we're looking at it through what's best for the community and the sense of community, and allowing people to build those relationships through laughter is, that's important. And we're not going to step in the way of that.
So what I'm hearing you say is we moderators are douchebags. Was that, yes. Did I get that clearly?
Okay. Yes. You know, that is pretty close.
I have a different perspective. I love the memes. I think they're absolutely great. I laugh at memes, and I think the world, it's kind of like Facebook. If you're under 25, I'll say, Facebook is for old people. Period. That's it, right? There's so many other
things. I hadn't even thought of that. That's crazy to think of. I feel too old for all these other social media sites, but I never really considered Facebook to be like old people social media.
Yeah. Well, now, look, I'm getting this fed to me from a 12-year-old, but just work on that. But Facebook.
That's so crazy. That you just really like shook my world by saying that.
well, hopefully I'll be seared in your memory forever then. But you know, it's one of those things that it's a new way of communicating, and we've seen it, and we don't talk about politics, but you've seen it in the political arena like never before. Mm-hmm. And memes have been around in some form or another for ages. To get a very quick, short point that's really kind of hard to dispute, because then anyone who tries to dispute it has to bring out 42 sources, and you know, it's like never mind, it's just a meme, dude, right? It's just a poster, right? That kind of a mm-hmm. thing. Memes are just more prevalent, and it's a new way of communicating and doing things. I laugh at them. I find them very, very much enjoyable. I do get a little bummed out when I see people that are irked by them. And it is truly like a bummed out thing, because I think there might be a generational gap. And the second now that I've said that, there's going to be some guy that's 15 and says, I fucking hate memes. And there's going to be some guy that's 40. The memes are the best, dude. Like Chef Curry Sauce is probably retired, you know, on his last legs or something. But the reality is it's just a part of internet culture now. And it really is. And there's some subs in Reddit that allow it, some subs that don't. You have a subreddit like RNFL with 580,000
right.
subscribers.
Right.
Memes are very low value there because there is so much real news flowing
through. And I was very much so like the guy who pushed harder than anyone else to get rid of them back like 5 years ago on RNFL. But it's a completely different circumstance.
Yeah, yeah. And you come to, again, you hide the memes and you look at the volume of quality posts that aren't either memes talking about memes or the meme war, and you wind up with not much going on. And, you know, back when we were 8,000-10,000 users and before, the off season was a dead zone. There was no content. And now at least there's something there to perpetuate the sense of community in between
right.
the bursts of news. And right. I think it's actually a healthy place for the subreddit right now to have those memes. But I do get bummed out because I feel like, look, there's even a button now where you can turn memes off. It doesn't work on your phone. I get it. It's a little inconvenient. But for the most part, you're not going to miss much now. And I know the mods. Look, we've got a great subreddit. And we are, the subreddits are, especially for the teams, they're a tribal thing. Humans are a tribal
yeah,
animal,
yeah, yeah.
And this is our tribe. This is the lion's tribe, and that's who we are. And I say tribe over and over because that refers to a team in Cleveland, and I just want to get on your skin, Case. But I just it's who we are, and this is our tribe. You know, and it's funny. You look at some of the other websites or blogs out there, and you know, people grab onto those. Oh, that's my, you know, that I'm a tribe there. Those Reddit people or whatever. There's this weird way that people like to subdivide themselves, and I think it's just probably not healthy. For anybody to say, well, I'm pro meme or anti meme in this community, in this subreddit. It's a thriving subreddit with great conversation, fun people, and it has a lot of great interactions in multiple ways. It engages in many, many, many multiple ways. So I don't want to harp on it too much. The meme war I thought was hilarious. It was very kind of out of the blue, built from scratch. And you guys were amazing. You guys put some good stuff in. It was great to see Curry Sauce put the finishing blow in there. So good job, guys. I liked the memes. I know people don't use the button to turn them off and enjoy reading your three articles a week or whatever in the meantime. But it's just kind of the way things are right now. And I don't think it's that bad.
I'd also just like to add that while I realize that the Titan subreddit, you know, thinks they won, I think if you took a poll of RNFL, the larger community, as to who had the best memes, I don't think there'd be there's any real doubt at who would be, you know, picked.
Yeah, for sure.
Like they, it's not a surprise that they think they won, but they didn't.
Well, so in the RNFL podcast, we talked a little bit about maybe hosting a broader meme war and doing like a little bit of a ladder tournament. We'll see if that comes to fruition, if there's interest in that sort of thing. But until then, the Lions stand on top and be proud of your accomplishments.
All right. Well, moving on to football.
Never heard
Quinn,
of it.
Right. Bob Quinn and posted by, oddly enough, Chef Curry Sauce, the leader of our meme war outing.
He was like Mel Gibson in Braveheart out there, wasn't he? Leading the charge on this meme war. Sorry, I can't get out of that. He did a good job. I'll leave it be. Sorry.
Yes. But he's also, I think he's intentionally kind of stepped up his game here in terms of other content as well, which is great. But he posted that Bob Quinn increased his scouting budget tenfold, which is, I can't imagine that that's not a good thing. Mayhew was never necessarily known for his acumen as a scout or draft guru
or GM.
I personally feel that, and I don't need to go in this because we've gone into this a million times before, that he was better, that he was a better GM than he sometimes get credit for, especially in terms of his growth in free agency and over his time where he started weak but got better. But regardless, nonetheless, he wasn't a draft guru guy, and I think that he didn't always get what was important, and I do think that Quinn does get what's important. The results, I know that I'm kind of like I only have one foot on the train because that's just who I am in regards to these kind of things, and I need to see more than one good draft from him before I'm fully
and
on
two good free agents,
but. Right.
And a lot of good tweaking at the bottom of the roster.
I follow. I need to see
the building and the workout regimen and in the nutritionist.
Yeah, but I need to see it translate into something. And that's,
Spanish?
That's what I'm right.
El Greto El Bueno.
But point being, this is a good thing. This is a good thing. You want to hear about your GM being more proactive as far as the scouting is concerned. A couple of specific things that I've heard from inside sources that the Lions are actually scouting pretty hard around quarterbacks. I'm not talking about, replacing Matthew Stafford type quarterbacks or anything. They're not going to take.
They're not going to re-sign him.
Or rounds.
They're going to trade.
But right. but they've been in a lot of pro days for a lot of guys who graduated this year. It won't be surprised to see them bring somebody onto the team in the, fifth, sixth, seventh round or as a UDFA. It does probably signal that Rudock is going to have, a fight ahead of him for the number two spot on the roster. He did great in very limited action against third stringers in last year's preseason. He's going to have to, he's going to have to really prove that he belongs on this team if they're going to keep him around. So I won't be surprised at all to see one of the late picks go to a quarterback. The other
can I really quick case.
Yeah.
I don't know that Rudock is in danger. And the reason I say that is because Orlovsky's gone and we only have two. And they want to carry three, I believe.
So I don't know. I don't know.
There's going to be a battle between Rudock and somebody else. And my thinking is that Quinn's mind here is at building the best backup he can, but knowing it's not a Matthew Stafford starter.
Well, here's what I will say. I think that if Rudock doesn't win the number two position, that they'll probably practice squat him. But I would be a little surprised if they go into the season carrying three active quarterbacks. They didn't this last year and only moved Rudock up when other teams came sniffing around.
Oh, that's a good point.
To potentially sign him. And now that said, that they did re-sign him or bring him onto the active roster, I should say, is a sign of some level of confidence in his, you know, future potential. So I don't want to make it sound like I think Rudock is out the door, because I certainly think there's going to be, if they draft a quarterback, which while I think it's certainly possible, I'm not even on the this is likely to happen side of the fence quite yet. There's so much that can happen with the draft, and reading too much into any move that teams make is gonna, you know, fool you as often as you're gonna be right. I'm just saying, you know, I won't be surprised if that's how things play out. The other position that it sounds like they're scouting really hard for now, I'll put a little more stock in this just because. We heard a little bit about Theo Riddick this week and his having surgery on both of his wrists. Is that they've been scouting heavily on running backs. And once again, I don't think we're talking about an early round guy. Obviously, there's been discussion about Mixon. Quinn had made some comments about Adrian Peterson still having something left in the tank. It's pointing to all signs that the Lions will bring in someone.
It's all lies right now.
Right. Well, and honestly, you're not wrong by saying that. Like, I don't, just because the signs look that way doesn't mean it's going to happen.
And because they say, you know, they're looking at Peterson and he's got something in the tank. That's probably a floaty duck to get people confused.
Right.
But no GM is telling the truth at this time of year.
Right. So once again, I'm not overly buying into it. Just mentioning that if you want to take what has been said and what has been done in terms of their scouting, it looks like they'll probably bring in another running back at some point. I will still be surprised if that is prior to the fourth round at the earliest.
And
I love Zach Center.
So we won't forget about that.
I love Zach Center.
And that's really going to be interesting. I don't think it's a bad idea looking at running backs, but you look at what this team needs, and I think you'll agree with me, Case. Defense, we did a great job, I think, in free agency and in getting this offense put into a really nice position. But our defense is especially after Levy now is being cut. We're in a tough spot. And that being said, as posted by Mutakin Manic. I hope I got that, but it's a tough name to try to read. When Quinn was asked if defense was his priority in the draft, you know, in my mind, I'm screaming, yes, yes, yes. But I'm also knowing that it's all lies this time of year. But Quinn comes out with, he's going to stick to BPA, best player available. And I just don't think, looking at this team, I just don't think that works in round one and round two.
Well, and it seems like every GM says that too. But I mean, come draft day, you know, their best player available is more likely to line up with the guy they've got, you know, ranked highly as a, you know, their draft board is not going to include right. No team's draft board, from my understanding, includes every player in the draft. They exclude players they don't need. Usually that's, you know, quarterbacks in the early rounds, things, the easy things like that. But not every position is equally represented on every team's draft board. You know what I mean? Like, teams that need one thing are going to spend more time scouting certain guys at certain positions, and that's typically going to wind up with more of those players higher on their draft board. So, I mean, like, you could say best player available, and it's a great idea,
but now here's where this thing all gets to a mismatch of things that make me grumpy. You know, they say anything, BPA, whatever, but they go for what they need, and that's what they're really working on. And what are we scouting? Quarterbacks and running backs.
Like I said, I think both those things, like I mentioned both those things because they were surprises, because, you know, they're something that they're, you know, controversial. They're scouting other positions. They're like we said, they increased their scouting budget by tenfold. They're everywhere, scouting everyone right now.
Yep.
So once again, I think that's a good reason not to buy too much into any single position group that they may have had a guy watching one place.
For sure. And I want to just really touch base on something that we have coming up. In show 100, which is our next show, I believe that we'll have the Riz in and we're going to do our pre-draft spectacular. And it's ahead of the draft, but I think it's going to help you guys get a good look at what the likely scenarios are. It's close enough to the draft where we have some really, really good ideas as to what to look for. So, we're talking about some of the key pieces right now, but we'll do an in-depth run here on show 100.
I can't believe we've been around that long.
and our three listeners love us. I mean, they right. absolutely love us.
All right. Well, moving on, we've got... This is the beginnings of what's likely to be the ongoing saga of the summer and possibly throughout the season and into next season, and that is the new contract for Stafford. And the team is apparently in quote-unquote very early negotiation stages, and that is going to take months, not weeks. That is posted by P-Town Dills. There you go.
nice.
But yeah, no, I mean, it's, you know, it's better than hearing still no word from Lions team on Stafford. You know, it's better than not hearing anything. And it's also better than, you know, hearing that they're specifically not communicating or that things are not good.
This worries
it's also
me.
Just like,
this is just like Ndamukong Suh all over again. This is exactly how that started. And we're probably in deep shit. I have a feeling they're just gonna get rid of Stafford, and that's why they're scouting on those QBs. That's, you're here first.
Yes. Yeah. Well.
my name's Case, by the way. No, I mean there's people out there that are thinking that, but there's no way Stafford's going. And here's what I like about this, and the idea that, you know, we're taking our time. It's gonna take time. They're gonna find out and work to get to the very, very best deal. These things don't happen. If a team's too ready to throw too much money, that's where you get a Calvin Johnson contract like we saw, where you way overpay at a position.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, the other side of it is when you have someone sitting there holding out, and you get your Sue situation where they just really don't even want to play there. Matthew Stafford wants to play for the Detroit Lions. He wants this team to win, and he wants to be the guy to bring that championship and that Super Bowl ring to Detroit. And I think he's the guy that can do it. We finally got an administration, a front office that can get him the players to do it and is making great moves. It's in his future if he stays here. If he goes to the Patriots, maybe it would be too. Who knows? But this is a chance for him to really, I mean, think about this. If you're Matthew Stafford, you know how good a quarterback you are. You know what your players are looking like. You know what your organization is like. Imagine being the guy to lead the Detroit Lions to their first Super Bowl win in 146 years. Can you know, you will never, ever buy another dinner in this town again. You would be superhero status. And I think there's a lot of draw to that. And the people that think, you know, when you hear people say, oh, no, Brooks are breaking down, he's leaving. He's not. He wants to be here. and they're just working out what the right deal is for the team and for him. And there's a lot of pieces. You know, they just got the word on the couple weeks ago on what the salary cap changes were. There's a lot of pieces to look at. And I bet part of the conversation with Quinn on this is, here's what it takes to build this team. Here's where we think we need to grow. What are your thoughts? And it takes money to do that, Matthew. So how willing are you to help us to make that happen? I think these are all parts of that negotiation. And when they say it's very early, I think you need to see the draft. I think you need to see training camp. And I think you need to see how this team's growing before a guy like Matthew Stafford and the team can kind of come to that kind of agreement for the long term as to what things will look like. I would almost guarantee that those are the kinds of conversations that Tom Brady had over in Patriots town. He's given up money to keep players and to keep the roster right. He's not selfless because he's making a lot of money, but he's also smart enough to know that a winning team is going to make him a lot more money in the long run.
Also, I mentioned this several episodes ago, but I don't think it's a coincidence that the Lions put as much into the offensive line as they did in a year of contract talks with their quarterback.
That's right. And that, I think that comes out of his contract a little bit. I mean,
I won't be not directly, that. Right? Like, I'm not talking about, I don't think either of us is, lest anybody, you know, we're not talking about major hometown discount type stuff here, but you give a guy a more favorable situation and you're likely to get him for, you know, a little bit less than you might otherwise have.
If he's motivated to win and if he wants that team to win, then giving him a team that can win is that kind of thing that in his mind is value in his contract, period. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think they're doing here. That's why I'm really confident Stafford will be back, and he'll be back at a big but fair number. I think
we're gonna see this be at least, you know, temporarily the biggest contract in the league, just because that's how these things go with quarterbacks. Is every time a franchise quarterback needs a new contract, it's the biggest one that's ever been. That's gonna be true, but it's also long-term likely to be, you know, it's not going to stay the biggest contract in the league for a very long time. And over, you know, the course of 5 years, if that's how long the contract is, by the end of it, it's going to be looking pretty good, is my expectation.
And if he signs that giant contract, he's going to want to be on a winning team, because that's going to be the topic of conversation. Ever since you signed that giant contract, you know, what have you done for the team? And it's all going to be measured, and that's all he's going to hear about. So he's mm-hmm. going to want to win and just say and shut that conversation down. Say, yep, he's worth it. Done. That's it. That's where he's going to be at.
Yep.
All right, so let's move on. I love Matthew Stafford. Got some rules changes in the NFL that were just approved, and we're going to go over them really quickly. Some of them we're going to speculate on. This is fresh meat right off the wire here as we're going through this, so we haven't had really a whole lot of time to dive in on this stuff. But I know, again, Riz will help us break this down when he can join the show next time. First off, this one came from Philadelphia. It prohibits the leaper block attempt on field goal and extra point plays. Wow, that's I always thought that was a really cool play, but I understand why they're getting rid of it. I loved watching that guy come flying across, and 99% of the time he got a penalty, but it was still fun to watch.
Yeah, no, I feel the same with about it. You know, it was a fun thing to watch. You know, most of the arguments that I saw against removing the play were all based on, you know, if the player wants to put themselves in jeopardy, that's their decision. And I don't completely disagree with that, but at the same time, like,
you make them wear a helmet.
Right. Like, we're also simultaneously all in an uproar every time something about them not sufficiently being proactive about player safety. So what side of this are we on? And I mean, I don't like it when something fun gets changed, but I also don't want the game to go away entirely because too many guys get hurt. Not to overreact to this one particular type of play that's, you know, not that, you know, significant. But imagine if somebody did land on their neck and break their neck on, you know, by getting tipped up. Like if they were leaping over the defensive line and the defensive lineman, you know, stood up and tipped their legs and they landed on their neck and their head. And I mean, all of a sudden that one instance of that potentially happening could be, you know, a spiral to the end of the NFL. And I don't think I'm exaggerating by saying that. So
we're just not ready as a society. And I don't know if this is a reference that everybody's going to get just since we have a younger audience, but we're, as a society, we're not ready to have the running man as our game yet. These guys are gladiators and they put a lot out there, but I don't think we're ready quite for that next level.
Right. Like if they want to take a step to attempt to improve player safety, I'm not going to be like I have a hard time being upset about that.
Yep.
I get the idea of, because if I were, you know, fortunate enough and had been hardworking enough to have the genes and the skill level and put in all the time and the energy, if that had been my life, I would trade, you know, for that, you know, regardless of knowing what the risks are. Okay. And I think a lot of fans, I would even venture to say a majority of fans, if they had that choice for their life to be, you know, a pro football player, would take it. But at the same time, like, there's
baggage.
This is not a black and white issue. It's not like either, you can't say, you know, well, let them do whatever they're going to do because it's their bodies and it's their choice. Or, you know, let's take away every, you know, possible thing that could ever create an injury. So you've got two extremes here, and you got to find ways to meet things in the middle. And this is just one of those ways of trying to meet things in the middle. And I don't think I can criticize it.
Yeah, and for the most part, it's a thread and a needle to get that right. And for the most part, the NFL does a pretty good job with it. So, all right, moving on from the competition committee, they've made permanent the rule that disqualifies a player who is penalized twice in one game for certain types of unsportsmanlike conduct fouls. Do not get yourself ejected for being a douche. That's really basically it. The rule,
mm-hmm.
Right?
And I, once again, you know, I've seen a lot of complaints to the new rule. People saying that this is, you know, this is likely to cause guys who didn't deserve to be ejected to be ejected. And I guess my response is like, maybe once a year that might happen and somebody might get ejected that shouldn't have been ejected because it was a bad call to begin with. But the majority of the time, I mean, it's going to just be guys who really shouldn't be on the field.
Yep.
And I have a hard time having a problem with that.
Yep. Absolutely. All right. Let's move on to the next one. Again, from the competition committee, this one changes the spot of the next snap after a touchback resulting from a free kick into the 25-yard line for 1 year only. What does that mean? It's legal words and legalese to tell you that for another year, they're going to keep the touchback at the 25-yard line instead of the 20. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Which, right. it's fine. I didn't feel like I lost that much.
Well, I kind of do, because we never just took a knee in the end zone and got the 25
right.
yards.
Well, that's true. That's true. I feel like we lost a lot as a team. I didn't feel that necessarily that like.
And as soon as we get a wicked
exciting, but
as soon as we get a wicked run back artist, you know what's going to happen? It's going to go back to the 20. So anyway, all right, moving on. The competition committee gives a receiver running a pass route defenseless player protection. And again, the safety rule, I think that's a good one too. I think a lot of the hits these guys are taking are shortening careers when they're out there looking for a ball. Now, this one, though, I think has a lot of opportunity to be abused as well.
Yeah, and I mean, that's always a huge concern of mine that, you know, just because a rule sounds like a good rule doesn't mean it won't end up being screwed up in implementation. So, I mean, that's true with all of these. And like, I don't. Obviously, we've been through our fair share of times when rules were misapplied or not applied when they should have been or whatever. So, like, I mean, everything makes me nervous.
Spotlight, because it's about something in this realm. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about the offensive pass interference against the meme losers last year on Eric Ebron.
Mm-hmm.
He just juked his guy so bad that the only thing, like, if you weren't looking directly at it, you think, oh, he had to push off. And it was a bullshit call. They totally missed the call and didn't see what happened. And I'm a little worried that the same kind of thing can happen with this rule. So we'll see how it goes. You know, these things, even in one season, it's often not enough to vet these things and see what it means. But like the 25-yard rule, they're going to, 25-yard line rule, they're going to give it a year here, and maybe they'll give it another year, another two to evaluate.
Right, right.
All right, the next one, this is for you, buddy. I'm going to let you break down onto this one. By the competition committee, they say that the proposal is approved to make crackback blocks prohibited by a backfield player who is in motion, even if he is not more than 2 yards outside the tackle when the ball is snapped. What the hell does that mumbo jumbo mean?
Well, I don't remember specifically what the play was, but I think this was the result of a specific play that I remember coming up during the season. But it's mostly in regards to running backs, and that they were legal to make crackback blocks under certain circumstances in the backfield, and now they're not, which, you know, again, trying to make the game safer. This is one of those things, like, I actually, you know, we complain that the game is too easy for offenses. Well, this is at least, you know, some, you know, one of those steps to, you know, go the other way too. Take a tool away from offenses that is dangerous and that they definitely try to take advantage of. But you know, guys end up with, you know, knee, leg injuries, and we don't need more of that. So
head, shoulders, knees, and toes, baby. All right.
Yeah.
The next one, this is my favorite. It's the, I like to call it the commercial rule. The sideline replay monitor is being replaced with a handheld device, and it authorizes designated members of the officiating department to make the final decision on replay reviews. Brought to you by the Microsoft service. Join Microsoft.com to select your new service. That's basically what it is. They're finding another way to integrate the Surface into the game. And oh my gosh, Bill Belichick won't even use one. He hates the Surface because it's not reliable. So beware and be ready for the replays to be a wreck this year.
Now, that said, the other part of this is that that a lot of plays will be reviewed by the central location.
Yes.
As opposed to the referees on the field, which is something that we've, you know, said we want.
Like they do in hockey. Yeah.
Right. Now, whether or not it's something that goes smoothly or not, that we'll have to wait and find out. But I mean, theoretically, I think this is a good thing.
Yep. Yep.
Just have to, you know, actually see it come to fruition as a good thing. Yep. So
and before you Surface owners getting all bagging on it, I actually own a Microsoft Surface. I love the thing. It's just not fit for the NFL environment. So there you go. All right, moving on. We've got two left here in the playing rule proposals. The competition committee submitted one that makes it unsportsmanlike conduct to commit multiple fouls during the same down designed to manipulate the game clock. Sounds like trouble, Keith.
Right, and this is a little confusing, and my suspicion is that this is based on another play that happened this last year, and I just don't remember exactly what it would have been. But right, the idea being something along the lines of just committing a foul. I think just committing a foul in order to stop the game clock, like offsides or something like that. That's what I think this means. But once again, we might have to have Riz fill us in a little bit better on the situation there next week or next time we talk to him. So,
yep, for sure. All right. The last one from the playing rules is, again, submitted by the competition committee. So the only one to get anything approved was the Eagles this year on the Leaper deal. This makes actions to conserve time illegal after the 2 minute warning of either half. So basically, Case, this means you can't clock the ball anymore, right?
Once again, this is one of those things, like, it sounds like something that is not, I think.
It's probably something the Patriots did again, right?
Right. I think this ties in with the last one. I think it's the same idea, just presenting it differently. But this could mean they're going to crack down on players moving the ball. This could mean they're cracking down on any type of
laying down on top of the ball, laying top
right,
of players,
right. That's personal pet ball. Peeve of mine.
Right,
but.
Right. All that kind of stuff. And it's so you have these two rules really trying to get at the same thing at the end of the game, right? And I think it's one, don't use penalties to do it, and don't do stupid shit on the field to do this in order.
They're good sportsmanship rules.
Yeah.
In my eyes. That's the idea here.
Yep.
Let's not fuck around in these cheap little ways and try to, let's
play football.
Play the game. Yeah.
Yep. All right, the last piece is an approved 2017 resolution proposal rather than a playing rule proposal. And this is huge. it's from the competition community. Again, it permits a contract or non-contract, non-football employee to interview with and be hired by another club during the playing season, provided the employer club has consented. So in short form, that means if, say we get angry at Terrell Austin as an organization next year, halfway through the season, and somebody else says, you know what, he's got something that we want. And let's just say it's the Packers, just because they're in our division. The Packers can call the Lions and say, hey, you know that Austin guy that you guys are cursing about? Hey, we'd like to interview and possibly hire him, and rumor is you're going to replace him anyway, right? As long as the Lions say, yeah, go ahead. Anytime during the season, the Packers or any other team could go ahead and interview and hire him away. That's an interesting twist on the longevity of employment, and I think there may be some opportunities for some Belichick type thinking on this thing as to when you pluck specific coaches and people out of different clubs.
I'm generally in favor of less restrictions in this particular type of situation, so I think that's a good thing.
Yep. Doesn't seem like it's funny, on their own they don't seem like huge things, but when the season starts, you really start to see how they impact the game and make things change. All right, let's go ahead and move on to the next topic. This one was huge, huge uptake in the subreddit. Alternatives to 97.1 for Lions and Sports. And in parentheses, I can't take 97.1 anymore, by the Calmato. And there was some guy, let me look at his name here. It's always so hard to read this one. He's prolific in the sub, but Sasumi? Sasumi? I don't know. Whatever.
I have no idea.
He had mentioned the Detroit Lions podcast. So for anybody listening, I highly recommended that podcast. yeah, that's kind of a stupid thing. So anyway, we just want to say thanks for all you guys for listening and give us a shot in the first place and continuing to listen. Still the number one Lions podcast, and it's because of you guys. And we really mean it when we thank you and appreciate all you do to help us do this and keep it alive, either it's Patreon or even just great, nice notes in the subreddit. So thank you. Thank you all very much for that. And we're going to keep at it. We're not slowing down. There's nothing getting in the way here other than a couple of little scheduling things here and there.
You should. I do want to interject real quick. If you're a fan of this show, you really should also be listening to the RNFL podcast. Because Jeff and Chris have been doing great work over there too, obviously everybody wants to get the perspective on the team that's nearest and dearest to them, but it's also important, is to be a well-rounded fan and get information from everybody.
Yes, and we try to put a pretty well-rounded show. It's meant to be a complement to what you look at for your team and your team's information. So I think that, for those who have the time and ability, give it a shot. It is a fun show to do. But also tell a friend about this show. If you're listening to it and your friends don't know and you haven't told them, cool, go let them know. Put it out there. Get some other people to listen to it so you can talk about how goofy we are. But that kind of leads us into a little bit of talk about some scheduling issues that are coming up. Last week's show was not going to be a missed show, but I got some pretty crazy news. Personal news. I found out that I have a choice to move across the country or not have a job. And so across the country I shall go, I believe. And I got some things to work out still on that. But I will land in a place the Lions will be playing a game next year. So I'll be able to get some extra Lions coverage in as a result of that. But one of the things that's going on is I'm going to be out of town with the family searching the new site, researching the new site next week. So we're not going to have a show. And I'm out a little bit earlier than a week. So we're not going to have a show next week, but the week after, instead of the show coming out on Wednesday, it's going to come out on Friday. And I apologize to you guys, but this is one of those, the one time I've done business trips, I've been out of the country, all over the place, and we've been able to do some of these shows while on the road. But this is one time that real life is kind of getting in the way and taking me away from the podcast and my friends. But after that, I promise we'll be back, and we'll be back better than ever. It'll be our 100th episode. We're going to have the draft extravaganza, the breakdown of everything, before everything you need to know, Lions, before we hit the draft. And we're going to give you all the real juicy details about the upcoming live draft party, second annual, and let you guys know how you can take part and hang out with us during the draft, have a beer, and do some really, really cool stuff in that regard. So again, thank you guys for all your support. We really love you. And we're working hard to get through some of these real life things that may jilt a show or two along the way, but we will not forget about you. This is our kind of one foot in reality while everything else spins out of control. And with that, I think it's time to move on to probably the least exciting part of the show, where we go
around the division.
Oh, I feel it. That's some heavy, heavy stuff. And that bass every time, man. So I'll let you go take us around the division, Case. I've got to go knock something down.
Yeah. We start at the bottom, as always, with the Bears. And truth be told, there isn't really any news in Chicago. the word on the street is that Jay Cutler is probably out of the league this year, which is kind of crazy to think about.
What? Wait, hold on. I'm sorry. So Jay Cutler is going to be out of the league, and people are talking like Colin Kaepernick should have a job.
Right. Well, I think this is partly a choice by Jay Cutler. I'm sure somebody will offer him something. He's not the best quarterback in the league by a mile, but he's also not the worst quarterback in the league.
He's a
by
starter.
A half mile.
He's a Chicago quality starter right there.
Right, right. He's the best quarterback they've ever had. So,
I love that. That's true.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's all there is to it. Chicago, goodbye, Jay. I feel like there should be more fanfare, but part of me will miss ragging on him. So,
smoking Jay. So they don't even have memes going on over there. What a lazy bunch of meatheads.
There's one or two probably, but they don't got anything on us. So okay, so moving up in the rankings one spot, we've got the Vikings, and their big news since last we spoke was that they signed an extension with Adam Thielen, their leading receiver, to a 3-year deal.
I thought it was Laquon Treadwell.
No, but on a side note, there is an awesome highlight reel for Laquon Treadwell up on the Vikings subreddit right now. I recommend checking that out.
Won't take much time.
No. There's a little bit of filler in there.
do it on your smartphone while you're peeing rather than waiting to poo.
Right. Right. Exactly. The thing with Thielen is it's probably an overpay, but it's an overpay in the sense that the guaranteed money is really high. The overall contract size isn't necessarily that big. So they're betting on him to continue to be a good receiver. But we're also talking about a guy with one single solitary season of solid production. So they're so desperate for wide receiver talent in Minnesota, so it makes sense to hang on to him. But just the it could easily turn the other way on them. It could go badly for them if he doesn't. If it turns out that teams just needed to, you know, figure him out or, you know, whatever. We've seen how many times before we've seen a guy put up one good year of production and then fall off. So it's a little bit maybe of a risky move on their part, although I don't want to make it sound like I don't understand why they did it.
Yeah, I just feel like this year could be the year that the Vikings, I mean, they're taking a lot of risks. And it's like the year that if things go wrong, they could just fall off the cliff.
Mm-hmm.
Or should I say, if everything goes right, they could be battling the Bears for the basement. It could be a fierce, fierce battle. That's something to watch out for. Now, I remember last year we were both saying, those Vikings are nowhere near as good as people said. And boy, they came out like gangbusters, didn't they?
Yeah.
So, it'll be something to see. You can't flim-flam the Zim-Zam until after game five. And this could be the year. This could be the year that really just puts them in the ground.
I hope so, but we'll have to wait and see what happens. Moving up to the worst team in the division. The Packers also don't have, you know, a really significant amount of moves to talk about. They had one signing. That's probably one of their second most significant signing they've made this off season. Third, probably after Bennett and Perry, is they signed Devon House back after he spent several years elsewhere with the Jaguars.
On their farm team.
Right.
They can't develop him in-house. They'll farm him out to the Jags to get some professional experience.
Exactly.
Semi-professional.
It's a move where it's like, if he steps up big time, then sure, it's great. It's a one-year deal, so it's not like they're taking a huge risk or anything. But he got cut by the Jaguars. He wasn't a free agent. They weren't willing to pay him what he was going to command. And rightfully so, but theoretically he's stepping into the number one cornerback role for the Packers. So
I think
it's probably an upgrade at that position for them, but it's an upgrade in the sense that like there was no one.
Right. It's kind of like an upgrade at linebacker right now would be.
Right. No, that's totally
dummy
it.
For us.
Right. If the Lions end up starting Paul Warlow, that's kind of the situation here. So yeah,
for sure. I wanted to touch on one other piece of info about the Packers, and it came out last week. It came out in the signing of TJ Lang, which I absolutely love. And, some people talked it down a little bit, but I can't talk it down. I think it's a great one. He's either going to be able to hold like hell, or he's going to teach our players how to hold, or he's going to be in for a rude awakening. But the word from him is that in the Packers locker room, the Detroit Lions are the threat this year. And that's I just found that hearing that from, you know, from him, they felt pretty good. I liked that. And I'm looking forward to next year. When it's the Lions saying that one of the other teams in the division is the threat this year, but this team's heading in the right direction. I'm telling you, Quinn's the guy. He's making it happen.
That's it for a round, the division.
All right, really quick, I want to talk to you guys about two quick things. Don't forget, this is the last week in the Black Rifle Coffee Contest. Great giveaways, and there's chances to win, a lot of chances to win. Don't be afraid to whip out the Twitter. Get your Twitter machine running and hit @DETLionsPodcast. Supports our vets with @BlackRifleCoffee. #WinBlackRifleCoffee. We got mugs, t-shirts, coffee, hats, all kinds of stuff given away. And I got to tell you, go to BlackRifleCoffee.com right now. Order up some of that sweet, sweet freedom in a cup. You guys are going to love it. It is, and I'm not saying it because they did send me a bag of free coffee. I'm saying it because it's damn good coffee. I bought it first, and then I reached out to them and engaged them as a sponsor for the show. This is great, great stuff. If you like coffee, you are going to love it. They've got it in whole bean ground. They got it all, right? And it's even in K-cups if you have a Keurig, and it's delicious. I got Keurig cups myself, and then I also got ground and wound up getting one of those reusable K-cups for the Keurig machine, and now I make this super potent. My brand is of their blends is caffeinated as fuck because I'm never energetic enough, and I just jackhammer that shit in there. And then I run it through the Keurig and make a giant ass cup. It's absolutely delicious. I drink it before every show. It's the caffeine jolt that I need. So BlackRifleCoffee.com. Let them know that you are ordering as a listener from the Detroit Lions podcast in the special instructions area when you do your order, and go get that stuff. Remember, we're supporting vets with this stuff. And when you buy it, a portion of the proceeds goes to support veterans, and they have a huge initiative. They're growing the business. They're going to be opening over the next year and a half over 600 retail locations, and their priority is to hire veterans. They ship around the world. Let's help get these guys transition back into the private workplace and back into the world and show them that we love them. BlackRifleCoffee.com. Get some. If you want anything besides coffee, it's also available at DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Head over the shop link. You can go to Amazon and click on that. They give us a little kickback from everything you buy. Just lets them know you got there from here. They didn't do any of those crazy pop-ups or anything like that. But it's a great way to help us out. DetroitLionsPodcast.com and that shop link. Also, if you're looking for any fan gear, official sports gear, whether it's hockey, college, you got the hoops stuff going on, Final Four is hitting. And you're Detroit Lions, official jerseys, blankets, mugs, golf clubs, you name it. It's all there. Just come to DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Again, over the shop link and get yourself hooked up with your great, great, awesome Lions or other sports team official gear. All right, that's going to do it for this week. Remember, this show needs and uses your involvement. Take those comments in the sub and give us feedback. Let us know what you think of the show, what we can add, what we can change, what we can do better, and what we got to stop doing. Also, don't forget about us on Patreon, patreon.com/DetroitLionsPodcast. Or go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com and click on the Patreon link. Your support is most, most welcome. Set up for a monthly donation, anywhere from $1 all the way up to as much as you want to give. It helps us out a great deal, helps us improve the quality of the sound and everything else we're doing on the show. So thanks a lot, guys, for those that are taking part. And if you haven't, go ahead and join. Help us out on Patreon. There's also a one-time donate button on the website, and you can just send us some money via PayPal if you want to do it on a one-time instead of a recurring basis. Don't forget to check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast. That's facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast. And of course, on Twitter, the Twitter machine, at DETLionsPodcast. That's DETLionsPodcast. It's the most wonderful place to see Case.
Playing tight end.
Don't forget to leave us a voice message via Skype at Detroit Lions Podcast. All one word, Detroit Lions Podcast. Or you can even leave us a voice message at 929-33-LIONS. That's the Lions line, baby. 929-335-4667. Give us a call, preferably if you're not sober. And leave us a message and get a chance to hear yourself on the show. Remember, those numbers are going to be important when we do the live draft show coming up on April 27th. Lastly, be sure to go to Detroit Lions Podcast and subscribe to the podcast. It'll come inside your box automatically. Me and Case, who wouldn't want that? Thank you for tuning in, and we're going to see you next time on the Detroit Lions Podcast. It's your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection.
Let's bring it in here together. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go, baby.
Lions on three. One, two, three. Lions!